Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, peace be with you. Thank you for tuning in to this week's show. We got Christopher Pavlovich in the studio. This is a brother who accepted Islam from a Croatian background. And alhamdulillah, he's here to tell us his story. Fell off for some time, and that's what makes it unique, where many people, they come to the realization that there is a purpose to life. They find it out in Islam, and they start living it, and then the desires take over, you know, friends and family, difficulties, and sometimes people fall back to their routines that they develop bad habits for years. And now he came back, and alhamdulillah, so we're going to share his story with you and benefit from his story and see how he actually drifted away and how he came back. It's a really, really incredible show. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
This is the Deen. This is the Deen. This is the Deen, this is the Deen show.
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 This is the Deen show. Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you.
Assalamu alaikum.
Christopher Pavlicek.
Yes.
How are you doing, brother?
Alhamdulillah, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. I'm glad to be here.
Glad to have you here. And we, Pavlicek, so this is a Croatian? Your mother's Croatian and your father is from?
My father's side, we're Bohemian, so that's where the Pavlicek comes from.
Yeah.
But on the mother's side, yeah, we're Croatian.
Now, that's really unique. We have so many people. We know Islam is the fastest growing way of life in the world, and so many people are realizing that there's more to life than just partying and play and, you know, making money. And you actually realize that at a young age, at the age of 15, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I first got interested in Islam in mid-90s, early 90s, you know, in hip-hop music, in the media, in the movies. Islam was portrayed in a good light at those times, so I kept hearing about it. I got interested in it. A few things in my life made me really think, you know, I should search for a true path.
Mm-hmm.
So the more I looked into Islam, the concept of one God, It was like everything I was looking for. The idea that, you know, all of our worship goes to one Lord, and there's not, you know, three in one, or, you know, different types of gods, different, you know, ways to worship. That there's one true path. That that brought a certain degree of peace to my life,
mm-hmm.
even at a young age.
Yeah, let's talk about. I'm going to talk about something that, you know, stands out, especially in the European community. And some other communities, people aren't used to here. You know, we have a melting pot in the United States, and people don't really focus too much on these things. But back in the European community, Bosnian community, Croatian community, when they see such a nice beard like yourself, it stands out. So people want to know, like, usually if you we mentioned that Croatian background, but now some people think, okay, why does he have a beard? You know, did he become an Arab? What have you ever had someone question you about your beard?
Yeah, even the beard and then just becoming Muslim in general, people will say to you, like, oh, you're becoming an Arab now, or you're becoming an Indian. But in my case, you know, I started growing the beard because I found that that's one of the attributes of the Prophet Muhammad, so peace be upon him, and then the other prophets as well. Anytime you look in, you know, Christian or Jewish theology, you see the portraits that they have of the prophets are always with beards. You know, it's a sign of masculinity. So even without knowing all the scientific benefits which are being, you know, brought to us now, you know, I did it to look like a Muslim, to resemble those prophets, knowing that, you know, they're the best of mankind.
Yeah, the World Observer, talking about science, this is really interesting. I mean, we don't actually grow it because of science, but we see a lot of the things that the creators told us to do, it's a benefit for us.
Right.
And there are so many big things, small things. And now, let's say for the beard, I just want to bring this point. The World Observer, they actually published an article talking about, this is from a study done at the University of Southern Queensland. It was published in the Radiation Protection Dosimetry Journal. Now they found, this is them speaking. Now they found in this study that the beard, the beautiful one you're wearing, mashallah, they said that the beard, it blocks 90 to 90% of UV rays. It's a cancer fighting, I mean, protecting you from the UV rays, obviously that cause cancer. And it goes on to say that the beard also, along with slowing down the aging process, reducing the risk of skin cancer, all from the beard, talks about you got asthma, you know, the pollens and dust simply get stuck in the facial hair of the beard. So also protecting you and keeping you looking young and fresh. So this is from a scientific perspective. That's really unique to hear something like that, isn't it?
It's great to know.
It's great to know, huh?
It's great to know. I think maybe that's encouragement for some of our brothers who might not be at the beard level yet.
Now, it doesn't stop there. It talks about, you know, continuing on, it talks about, you know, the study, the researchers also, they mention that shaving usually causes ingrown hairs and the bacteria infections that lead to acne. So now, for the people shaving, it talks about shaving usually causes ingrown hairs and which leads to bacteria and infections leading to the acne. So it's actually, in the study, the shaving is actually bad for you. Okay. So hopefully for the people that got just stuck on the beard, now, you know, we can kind of, you know, move along.
Yeah.
From there.
Yeah. We can move on from my beard. Look up here, not here.
Yeah. Anyway, so continue on. So now you're a young man. You're around 50. Is that right? At 15 years of age, you accepted Islam.
Yeah. About I grew up on the north side of Chicago, and we wound up inheriting my grandmother's house in Naperville. And when we moved to Naperville, the community was totally different than Rogers Park, where I grew up. You know, Rogers Park is a very diverse part of Chicago. It's like the United Nations. Naperville was not like that at that time. It was very, you know, one type of people out there. So it was kind of difficult for me to fit in at first. And I found myself doing things that I didn't like to do. I was doing some bad stuff, if you will. I was being the bad kid because coming from Chicago, all the kids looked at me as like, oh, you know, Chicago's dangerous and you're gonna get into trouble and all that. So I bought into it to be cool with everybody, to be popular. So I played, you know, the bad guy role and just to make friends, but that wasn't me. I don't have that makeup. I'm not a bad guy. So I was just pretending to be somebody for them. And this is at a young, young age. This is like eighth grade, freshman year of high school. So it wasn't me. I didn't feel comfortable. So I started searching. And while I'm making that search, school's going over the Middle East. School's going over Africa. The news, like I said before, news is talking about a few wars that are, like, hit close to home. Because at that time was the Bosnian Wars, as I'm sure you know. And Bosnians and Croatians are essentially the same people, just a different side of the border. So there's that, and there was a war in Chechnya, which is close to my other side. So Islam just kept coming into my life. Everywhere I would, you know, look at the news. If I listened to the music I listened to, they would be, you know, saying Assalamu Alaikum later and stuff to that extent. So it just kept coming at me. School's going over it. I decided to study more, and the more I studied about sociology and history, Islam just kept coming at me. So eventually I came to the conclusion that I'm going to become Muslim because it seems right. Worship one God. What could be more simpler than that? Mm-hmm. It's me and my Creator. So we had a nice high school student that decided to talk about Islam for the class, and they gave a little presentation. These are the pillars of Islam. This is Iman. This is what the Muslims believe. And by that time, I had already decided I'm going to become Muslim. So I wrote the question down, like, how do I become Muslim? And next thing I know, I get a phone call from the local imam.
Let's hold right there. You get a phone call from the local imam. They're saying that we got to go to break, so don't lose your place.
Okay.
We're going to hear the rest of the story. Also, we're going to be talking about a former fighter with the UFC who also accepted Islam. All of that and more here on the Deen Show. We'll be right back.
So, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. Say, He, Allah, is one. God is one.
the maker of mankind.
Exactly. Allah who summoned it. Allah is self-sufficient. He doesn't need food or drink. He doesn't need to rest on the seventh day. Okay, I really had a problem with that even before I knew anything about Islam. God resting sounds like a weak God.
Yeah.
Lam yalid wa lam yulad. He begets not, he doesn't have any children, nor is he a child or born of anything or anyone. Wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. And there is nothing co-equal or comparable unto him at all.
Nobody.
Nothing.
Jesus, nobody. Nobody's comparable to the Creator.
Nothing.
Yeah.
And that right there was, in its essence, what I believe naturally.
Back here on the Dean Show with Christopher Pavlicek.
Pavlicek.
You know, my friends and guests who become my friends, they know many people have been on the Dean Show. I usually mess up some names in the first time, so please forgive me. Now, let's continue on. So Islam is hitting you from all over the place, okay?
Right.
It's like signs are coming to you. And you're at that point. Are you starting to get a little more, like, serious in life? Or were you thinking about what's the purpose of life? What was your state at that time in life when these signs are coming to you? Like,
right. So these things are coming at me from every angle,
yeah.
from visual, from the television, from audio, from the music I'm listening to, and then it's hitting me in school.
Now you're in class,
right?
And now you have someone doing a presentation, and what happens from there? Continue on.
Right. They, as you could imagine, the speaker takes questions. So I wrote down the question: how does one, you know, become Muslim?
Yeah.
So what she did is she turned the information over to the local imam of the masjid. There's a nice masjid there in Naperville. Actually, there's a few now, but I'm dating myself. At that time, there was one. He calls me up. He says, you know, I understand that you would like to become Muslim. And at this point, you know, I've made the decision really based on the most basic, simple explanation of Islam, that they worship one God and not much else. So he talks to me over the phone. He says, do you believe, you know, that there's only one God? Do you believe that Muhammad is the messenger? And he runs down the list of the beliefs that a Muslim should have. I just agree to everything because my heart is already telling me you're going to become Muslim. That's it. I'm young. I'm not doing the deep research that somebody that might be in their 20s or 30s is going to do. I'm barely a teenager. But something inside of me is just driving me that this is, you know, this is the right path. This is what you got to do. And I had that moment that a lot of people that embrace Islam will talk about. I sat, you know, by myself at one point. And I just said, you know, whoever is above, whoever is the one that controls all of this, if it's Jesus, if it's Allah, guide me. Send me in the right direction somewhere. And all of this took place right then. Like, it was a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Islam just became exposed to me in a place where there's hardly any Muslims to begin with.
Yeah. So now you coming from a Christian background, someone says, hold on, you keep stressing the belief in one God. But if a Christian watching says, what did you do? How did you do anything different? Because we as Christians, we believe in one God also.
Right, and that's something that a lot of people are confused about because they say, no, we only worship one God, but at the same time, then what is Jesus' role in your religion? It's what Jesus is God. No, that's where the confusion hit me, and that's why I couldn't accept it because Jesus is either the Son of God or he's a part of God or he's a separate entity and we pray to God. And that confusion, that ambiguity, if you will, that just didn't make sense to me. And I could never accept that.
Mm-hmm. That Jesus was actually a part of God.
Right.
And what do you believe as a Muslim now? And obviously a Muslim is simply one like Jesus and Abraham and Moses. Jesus wasn't a Christian. He was one who submitted to the will of God. Jesus
right.
submitted to the will of God. Abraham, all the prophets, including Muhammad being the last, they all submitted to the Creator. So that's what a Muslim is. But what do you say now to the person who is stuck between, okay, do I worship Jesus? Do I worship? And that's what the problem you had, right? With the whole Trinity thing.
Right.
But what was it now about Islam? It's just the belief, just worship the Creator?
Yeah, in Islam, it's as simple as you can be. And as Muslims, we believe in the revelation that came to Noah and Abraham and Moses and Jesus was basically the same revelation, to worship one God. And even in the Old Testament and the New Testament now, you see that Jesus is praying to God. Moses is praying to God. Abraham is praying to God. So why now am I going to pray to Jesus rather than do what Jesus did, which is pray to God? I couldn't get past that point. And that's another aspect of Islam, is that we love all of these prophets to a level that they're human beings, but they're not godlike. They're the best of mankind, and they came with the revelations for us. You know, they're the example to be followed, hence, you know, our beards. That's one aspect that we're following them in. But to raise them to a level that they never even rose themselves to, it never sat well with me.
Mm-hmm. And that tradition, obviously, the greatest thing that we do in following them is worshiping like Jesus worshiped, like Abraham. They didn't worship Jesus. They worshiped the creator of Jesus, correct?
Right.
In the greetings, we greet each other with peace. Peace be unto you.
That's right.
This is also mentioned in the Bible, that Jesus greeted his followers with peace. And the way he prayed, he fasted. He went to, they did the pilgrimage to, and the Bible's called Becca, which is Mecca. Right. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the five pillars. That's Islam, submission to the will of God. So now in Islam, it's just worshiping the creator, not the creation. It's clear, it's simple, one, and you move out any divinity next to God. So there's no holy son or holy ghost. It's just God.
Right.
One God. That's it.
That's
no
it.
Trinity.
That's it. No need for any additives or preservatives.
That's it. We mentioned now a former UFC a fighter, and he's actually a really incredible individual. His name is Goran Relic. Okay. And he's actually one of my black belts, black belt under me. And thank God that he's Croatian, and I thought about mentioning him because your mother's Croatian. I believe his mother is also Croatian. He recently, you met him down at, where you guys?
I believe we were in New Jersey at the time.
New Jersey. Well, he actually, after that meeting with him in New Jersey, he actually accepted Islam. And I wanted to also talk about, before we go into the rest of your story, many people that are, they don't understand that you can still remain Croatian,
yes.
Serbian, you know, whatever your nationality is, you still remain Greek. But now, if you become a Muslim, that doesn't change any of that. Can you talk about it? Because you didn't stop being Croatian.
No, and that's a common misconception, is that, you know, Islam as it is in America, there's a great wave of immigrants that have come here from the Middle East, from Africa, and whatnot. So that's what the people see, but they don't realize that it's a faith. It's not a cultural thing. So for a person from Nigeria to be a Muslim is no different than our brother that you mentioned from Croatia being a Muslim, because it's the faith, it's what you believe on the inside.
Mm-hmm. So now for someone like Goran, yourself, you know, you accept Islam. Did you have a lot of resistance from family, from old friends?
The resistance that I experienced was from a lack of knowledge. You know, it wasn't like hatred, but my father thought, you know, now you're going to become an Arab. He literally told me that. And it's just because people don't know, they don't have the knowledge to separate the religion from the culture that a lot of people have.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break and we'll continue on and wrap things up here with Christopher's story on how he came to Islam, and then we're also going to get in how you kind of drifted away and then ended up coming back. This is very common also today. We're going to also benefit from his experiences here on The Dean Show. When I embraced Islam, from that day on, I knew I never wanted to drink another drink in my life. I never wanted to smoke. I never wanted to harm my body. Because I realized that it was a blessing, you know, to be able to see life from the perspective of Islam, because it's like a lens that clarifies life for you. And so I started seeing the clarity of life, and I said, this is what I've been looking for all my life. Now all I have to do is live up to it.
Jihad, often mistranslated as holy war. The word jihad means to struggle. Islam does not preach violence. It does not preach vicious holy war. It certainly does not condone terror and suicide bombing. Islam preaches compassion, tolerance, and justice. Find the truth about Islam. Call toll-free 877-WHY-ISLAM. Order your free copy of the Quran today.
Back here on The Dean Show, and tell us now, okay, so you accepted the imam, he calls you, you accept Islam. What
Yes.
do you have to do to accept Islam?
I have to bear witness that there's no God but Allah, and that Muhammad is his last and final messenger. Mm-hmm. So that was easy for me to do. I did it over the phone, as a matter of fact.
That's it.
That's it.
Now, someone hearing Allah for the first time, they think, okay, this is, you know, some God of the Arabs.
Right.
Right. What do you say?
Just because it's an Arabic word, but no, this is just the name for like the supreme God, the Almighty God. You know, you could translate it in different ways, but we're basically talking about the one who created everything, is mm-hmm. in control of all the affairs.
Yeah.
So we say Allah. You could find people that would say different than that, but we say Allah is Muslim.
Jews and Christians who are Arabic speaking, they also, who are Christians.
That's right.
But they're from the Arab area. They speak, they say Allah, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Okay, so now you bear witness that there's nothing worthy of worship except the Creator, in Arabic, Allah. And Muhammad is the last and final messenger. Now, this would obviously include all, as soon as you make the statement, how does Jesus, Moses, Abraham, how do they all fit in?
They are also messengers.
So you believe in all of them also?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You can't be a Muslim without accepting them.
Yeah, that's deep. So now you accept Islam. Now, the rest of the story, you kind of drifted off. There are so many people, this is in your nature, to worship the Creator, not the creation, to bear witness to this, to acknowledge, you know, that, hey, this creation is not purposeless. There's a purpose behind it. And if I'm going to worship anything, it's not going to be money, sticks, stones, or bones. It's going to be the one who created mankind. So now you bear witness to that, but you kind of drifted off. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, as I explained, you know, the concept of worshiping one God, I think that's an innate quality. You know, I think the majority of mankind, they have that built into them. So they're going to do that. And I accepted that easily. But what happened to me after that is I'm 15, I'm 16 years old, I'm in high school. I wound up moving back towards the city because things got a little difficult with my family, so it was easier for me to live with my grandparents on the southwest side. Once I got there, just the average high school life, you know, a teenager's life, you know, dating, partying, I was overwhelmed by it. So knowing that it's wrong to do it, and actually like believing it's wrong to do it are two different things. So yeah, I fell into the clubs and I fell into gangs and everything, you know, that comes with that, the quest for money, the quest for power, all of that, you mm-hmm. know, that became real exciting. You know, you see somebody with a fancy car, you want to be like them. And if you're in an environment where that's kind of looked at as like the top level, that's the best you can do, then you pursue it. Mm-hmm. And you pursue it, and that's what I did. I went and got involved in that lifestyle, and you know, I, a lot of people that I met in that lifestyle, I look back now, sadly, and this is why I'm active in Dawah now, because there's a lot of people that are like second, third, fourth generation gangbangers in the city of Chicago. You know, it's kind of a unique thing that we have that other cities don't have, and you'll just find people like a good, honest person, but they're born into it. So I was exposed to a lot of people like that. And I met some people that I swear were like the smartest people I've ever met, but they're born into that lifestyle. And for them to get out of it, they have to be exposed to Islam or exposed to a better way of life to know that that's not everything there is.
So Islam provides that alternative.
Definitely.
Now, yeah.
I'm sorry, but it provides you with that peace. Mm-hmm. It provides you with the ability to just sit down and relax and not be looking over your shoulder, and every time you know you hear a siren, worry if that's your door that they're coming to. So Islam gives you that peace and that sakina, and as others before me, and as I'm sure there's some people out there now, you know, you're coming close to rock bottom. And in my case, rock bottom was you know, getting detained and going through circumstances that could have, you know, put me behind bars for a very long time. But at that point, just like a lot of people, you find God. I found Allah again. I came back to Islam again because I knew I had no alternatives. I had nothing to help me. I'm in bars.
Yeah.
And I know I don't have anybody that's going to look out for me except Allah. Mm-hmm. So that dramatic experience will bring you back to Islam. And it happened to me before it was too late.
Yeah.
I have other friends that they didn't get that opportunity and Allah took them back earlier.
Yeah, so they took him back by them dying.
That's
death
right.
caught up to him. And that's the reality. We don't know when we're going to die. Death can come at any time. So alhamdulillah, thank God that you came back.
Alhamdulillah.
And you tamed your desires.
Yes. Huh?
And you started living life the right way. So that's something, my next question, what advice do you give for people like, let's say, the former UFC fighter, Goran Redek, you know, after explaining the purpose of life to him, Islam just makes sense, like it did to you and, mm-hmm. you know, all the millions of people that are accepting it's the fastest growing way of life. Worship the creator, not the creation. Do good, live a good life. And at the end, you got paradise. You're not just living for this material world. And it gives you the blueprint on how to live from A to Z. Everything's laid out. And there's no monkey business there. It's not something that you have to do a bunch of mental gymnastics to make it fit. Right. It goes with the human soul, with the mind. So he accepted it. Right? And so many other people are accepting it. But now the challenges, you know, family, culture, the desires. What advice do you give to someone like himself and other people who've also, they've come to Islam, but you see them kind of drifting off? What advice do you have for them?
I think some of the best advice you can get is that, you know, the concept of worshiping Allah alone, that's something that's easy to do. But when it comes to how do you apply it? You know, how do you apply it? Following the rules that at first might look a little strange to you, like growing the beard, like other aspects. You know, Allah commanded us to do certain things, and sometimes they might not look natural to us. But we find out later, 1,400 years later, scientifically it's proven. You know, growing the beard is now healthy for you. We're finding this out. Finding out about sleeping on your right side as opposed to your left side, that has a benefit to your heart. Nobody knew that back then. But these are things that Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, brought to our attention, things that can guide you throughout your life and they can preserve you. And also, they combine with your existing culture. They fix the problems you had, you know, things like drinking and falling into fornication and stuff like that. They complement the good qualities of your culture. And you can build that all together and you can, you know, you purify yourself.
Mm-hmm. And for in the last minute we have, a lot of the other, let's say Serbians or Croatians, let's say, you know, the Deen Show now reaches that part of the world and they're like, yeah, it makes sense. I want to live my purpose, you know, worship the creator, not the creation, and live this good holistic life, this life of peace that brings you peace and happiness in this life and paradise in the next. But now they're stuck to that, like, okay, it's separating religion from my nationality. So now it's like I'm Greek and Greek Orthodox Christian and you can't separate the two. And if I become a Muslim, it's like, you know, I'm going to be outcast. What would you say to them?
Well, I would say to them, and that's extremely common because a vast majority of the people, their faith is tied into their culture. So holidays, you know, everything in their family is tied into their previous religion. When you become Muslim, you still show respect to your family. You still have the best of manners with your neighbors. And you should actually go above and beyond what you did before. It's the concept of who you worship now and following the religion of Islam that shouldn't cut you off from them. That should make your relationships better. Mm-hmm. And just like the prophets themselves had many, many hardships from their families, your example is in the Quran. Your example is from the Prophet Muhammad and Noah and Abraham. All of them had difficulties with direct family members.
Yeah.
So all of these things happened to the prophets before us.
Yeah, and that's the test of life.
That's right.
To see who we love the most. If we love our Creator, we're going to obey Him and do all the wonderful things that He's told us to do. We started with peace, we end with peace. Time flies when you're having fun. Thank you so much for being with us here on the Deen Show. Well, yeah, peace be with you. Salaam alaikum. Wonderful story here with Christopher sharing it with us. Someone who accepted what's in everybody's nature to give birth what's inside. It's inside of you. You just have to bring it out. And that's the realization that I have to acknowledge that, look, someone created me. It wasn't an accident that I just popped up in this world. And the one who created me, that's the one who I want to worship alone without any partners or associates. And what really, I think, helped me and so many people, when you really ponder and think about the destroyer of all pleasures, and that's death. And I'll leave you with something to really think about. It's an interesting story where life asked death, you know, why do people love me but hate you? And death responded, because you are a beautiful lie and I'm the painful truth. And when you really think about it, you know, the human flesh that comes from the dirt, from the clay, and it's of the essence of this world. And when we just feed it with things of the material existence, we see that we, at the end, you know, we don't end up feeding the soul, and then we just give the flesh what it needs. We become like an animal. But the soul inside every human being, it desires to be given back, to connect back with its maker. And then when it's connected back with its maker, that is when you truly feel this contentment, this satisfaction. Because a person can have mountains, billions of dollars of money and houses and cars, but when you're just satisfying the flesh, you're still empty inside. And Islam gives you, it's been sent to feed your soul, to bring you that satisfaction that you need in life, to be happy, to be content, to be satisfied. Look into Islam. Continue to view us here at the Deen Show every week. Follow us on the Twitter, like us on the Facebook, where you can keep up with all of our updates. And make sure to reach out to the one who created you and ask him to guide you if you're tuning in for the first time. And he will definitely facilitate a way. We'll see you next time. Peace be with you.